To do that, we have to do a station ID right now, as we always do at the top of the hour, because we are so blessed to be on this wonderful radio station, DanTalkNetwork.com, and we are glad to announce the different radio stations that are part of this. 2 FM, 3 AM. Here we are. We haven't gone anywhere. We're right here. And as always, this weekly show is heard again this Saturday and Sunday, every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on StarComRadioNetwork.com. I make my people remember the four words, StarComRadioNetwork.com. Nan, can you say that?
StarComRadioNetwork.com.
All right.
All right.
So they can hear this show this Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by our Go Yard show, Angel, right after that, which is really cool, at 12 noon. All this is Eastern time because we're right here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And back to the prayer requests and the praise reports. The answers to prayer over 17 years of ministry, guys, have been so amazing and so huge. People healed, people set free, people provided for, people saved, people set free from drugs and all kinds of stuff. Angel, you want to address the power of prayer, I guess, is what I want you to address.
Well, the power of prayer, you know, God is living and active, and the power of prayer is Him here today with us, and He wants to be active in our lives, and He wants us to come to Him in prayer. And, you know, when two or three are in agreement in His name, that's where we see Him do His work. And that's why the prayer line, I think, is so vital.
Because
it's
is.
Not just me now praying. I have a team of people agreeing with me
this.
I'm not alone in this right now.
No.
And, you know, a lot of times we might be a little hesitant to take it to our church prayer request because, the prayer line gossip, and maybe we don't want people to know this. Maybe it's private, you know, and you can be anonymous and no one has to know, but God, He knows.
Right. Absolutely. And we sometimes get those requests, and we get requests from around the world. So, if you speak Spanish, you can actually write it in Spanish because I can do that and translate it. But for most of people, they write in English, and that is great. Nan, have you seen answers to prayer in your life in these years? Today or yesterday or the day before?
I have indeed. You know, it's so wonderful that we do have a good, good Father.
I knew you were getting ready to cry. I could feel it. Go ahead.
My goal
is always to get you and Angel or whoever's on the show to cry.
Well, you keep talking, it's going to go away.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We get silly sometimes.
Right.
That we have a good, good Father that we can come to.
Right.
You know, And the prayer requests that we can say, Father, you know, I'm having problems with this. Well, He already knows you're having problems with this. He just likes to hear you come to Him and just...
Well, He tells us, even though He knows that He wants us to pray.
He wants us to pray, yeah. You know, and...
Give you a lot of scripture on that.
I mean, Jesus is our best friend. You know,
yes.
He's close. Well,
yes.
The Bible says He's closer than a brother.
Right.
But it's because of the love. It's because of the true love.
Amen.
That they have for us. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they have for us. And
you know,
it's just
amazing.
I was so touched in this morning's service. At one point, I just started crying. And I'm like, why am I crying? I don't know why I'm crying. Nothing's really wrong. Why am I crying? It was just such a anointing, and it was just such a closeness with my Heavenly Father.
Right.
You know, and one of the kind ladies walked over and handed me a tissue because she saw me crying.
Oh.
You know, and even thanking that, you know, that demonstrated love.
Yes, that's right.
She demonstrated love with her action.
Absolutely.
And God just loves us, and we have a true love with Him.
Woo, this show is all about God's love, and we're going to see it in this third story in Luke 15. If you just now joined us, you can find Luke 15 in your Bible because it always is good to be able to watch it if you can. This song is probably also one of my favorites by the group Avalon. It really needs to be played right now. People need the Lord. Mm.
Every day they pass pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear.
Praise God. Dear one, you need the Lord. Do you know that? God wants you to know that you need him. Nan, you got another poem there. God just inspires them as we go.
Yes. It's entitled, Will You Reach Out to Them? Will you reach out to those who are in need to know me? They are in their life. They are in your lives right now. Will you let them know that they can be free? People need to have my son richly living in their lives. They have so much going on. With their burdens, they strive. Will you be my hands reaching out to them? Child, can I truly rely upon you? What will be your decision today with this petition? What will you do?
Wow.
You know, when you played that song, I thought, oh, Lord, I'm going to cry. I go through periods of time listening to that song and just keep going at YouTube, listening to it. And it's such a powerful song. You know, we need to be reaching out with the power of love that is from God that we have in our lives, you know? And we need to reach out. We need to allow God to use us to reach out to those
That's
people
exactly right.
who are hurting. We need to go after that one little sheep that's straight out of the way. You know, there's people listening to this right now who know people have just turned their back on God, just walked away. I did that for 7 years. I got so hurt in a church that I just said, forget this. I don't need this. And then I found Beacon. And Beacon, the people at Beacon just loved on me. The power of love, which is what this series is about, the power of love was demonstrated, Pastor, through you and through the people that attended there. And it was just such a blessing. I was like, wow, you know, I have found home. I didn't realize it at first. I didn't know what was going on, but I have found home. And you guys just loved on me. And through the power of love, power of your love, the power of everyone's love in that church and God moving through them, I'm here sitting at this radio table today because of the power of love that you guys
praise God
gave me.
That's what it's all about. Praise God. Woo! Well, let's go back to Luke 15. Thank you, Nan, for saying all that. And we're in the third story, the story of the lost son. And so this father has this son come to him, a rebellious son, and say, I want what I'm going to get when you die. Here's what I want it now, because I want to go do my thing, and I don't want you telling me what I can do with your money. I want to go do my thing. And it says the father did divide the property between them, his two sons, and it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. They're undisciplined and dissipated. We got some more D's going on. Undisciplined and dissipated. He wasted everything he had. After he'd gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. Okay? He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs and the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. Now, there are so many times in our lives where our loving Heavenly Father, like this father, goes ahead and gives us what we are begging for so that we learn a lesson. Angel?
Oh, and we do learn lessons, you know, and so often, and I think it's part of just being a human, I think we know what's best for us, mm-hmm. and we know what that best timing is going to be, mm-hmm. and we think we know what it should look like and
right.
what it shouldn't look like, you know, and God's goal is totally different than ours. His goal
right.
is about refining us and helping us to be more and more like Him, and our goals may be a little different on that trajectory, and, you know, but He loves us enough to say, okay, you think this is what you're wanting here. You have that. And then we get into it and we realize it's a mess and it's not what we wanted or we thought we needed it, and we're miserable in that. And then He loves us enough to not be like, oh, I told you so.
Right.
He loves us enough to extend His compassion
yes.
and His love and His mercy. And then we are able to actually stop and hear from Him and to really hear what He wants. It's a refining.
So a loving Heavenly Father, and some of us that are parents have had to allow kids to do some things that we knew was not the best thing for them to do, but we felt like God was saying, yeah, let them do that because they have a lesson here to learn. And that's what I hear you saying, Angel, that so often God allows us to go right ahead and be our bullheaded, selfish selves, right?
Mm-hmm. It silences our pride.
Yeah, it does. And so often we think we know what is best for us. As some of my children at different times in their lives have done things that, wow, I wish they didn't do. Or, wow, wish I hadn't made that mistake. But you know what? Maybe you'll learn from it. And don't you think that's the nature of our Father?
Absolutely. That's the nature of Him. And, you know, and He wants our hearts willingly. That's the whole part of free will. And sometimes getting closer to God is a constant of dying to ourself and dying to our self-will.
Right.
And that self-will can get really loud and very challenging for us as humans sometimes. And so
right.
when He gives us those things, it's another way of letting us die that self-will.
Right, exactly. And so here we see this son And he's brought to his senses because he's hungry. They won't even let him eat the corn cobs. Have you ever eaten a corn cob? I love corn, especially in Indiana in the summer. But I wouldn't want to eat the cob.
No.
And I certainly wouldn't want to eat the cob that's in the sloppy food that the pigs eat. This guy was that hungry, the son of a very wealthy person, that he actually would have eaten corn cobs in mud because he was that hungry.
That's pretty desperate.
So he says to himself in verse 17 of Luke chapter 15, if you're just now joining us, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day. And here I am starving to death. So sometimes there has to be a big old wake-up call in our lives, right? Or in our kids' lives or in the people we know. There has to be something happen that brings us. It's what I call a going to Jesus meeting or come to Jesus meeting, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm just going to interject a little counseling concept in this.
Please interject any counseling concepts you would like to interject.
Because so oftentimes when somebody is going down that trajectory of kind of hitting their bottom, so many people reach out to rescue that they're stopping this lesson, this work that God's trying to do inside of them. And they're stopping that process. And we got to be careful of, you know, there's a difference between giving support and compassion and rescuing and enabling.
That's exactly right. And you see here, the good father is not going to go rescue.
Mm-mm.
He's not over there going, oh my gosh, let me cater you a meal because you're eating pig slop. Or you want to, but they won't even let you eat pig slop. And so let me bring a caterer in here. I had an occasion recently on one of my grandchildren that I had an opportunity to rescue, and I also had an opportunity to stand strong and let God do the work. And I cried so much over this. Angel, I shared it with you. You know, it was very, very hard for me to toe the line and not rescue. But because I had made a lot of mistakes with my daughter years before, I knew that the best thing for this grandchild of mine was for me not to rescue. But it was very painful for me. And I can imagine this father, when the son left with his inheritance, left on his little merry way to be drunk and carouse around with all kinds of women and everything else, the father probably cried and cried and cried, the humanness.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anyone who has an ounce of love and compassion, when someone we love is hurting, it hurts us deeply. And, you know, I think something I find interesting is his father had money, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of it. He probably had status in his community. And, you know, he probably had heard what was going on.
Oh,
with
he
the
probably
son.
Had. Yeah.
And, you know, he wasn't worried about the reputation or what are people going to think.
No.
Oh, I better get my son out of that mess. I mean, they can't have my son.
This is such a huge
that counseling
point
really
right
is.
Here.
It really is.
Make it strong, because there's people out there that have bailed their kids out of jail when they need to learn a lesson.
Or haven't followed through with the consequence because they're afraid of their own reputation. Or what's somebody going to think of me, this wealthy man with a child eating, you know, slopping the pigs for work? Like, he shouldn't be doing that. And so often we go in there and we try to make it different. And this father just sat back and let God do the work.
Okay, that's the choice I was given a few weeks ago. Sit back and let God do it. And he is doing it. I will tell you, I have a good report. It is happening. But it I won't say it broke my heart. It didn't break my heart. It hurt. It hurt to say no. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Because you don't want to see someone you love hurt.
Now Nan's got me crying.
Well, I haven't cried. I just want to make that.
Turn.
I just want to point that out.
But, you know, your point is valid, that the rescuing thing that so many people do is to save their own reputations. They don't want their kid be known as the bad kid at school, or they don't want people knowing that their kid had to go to jail for beating up their dad or their mom or stealing or something. And so they rescue them over and over again.
Yes, they do.
Go back to your point and make it as strong as you want to make it.
Well, and that's just it. When we rescue someone we love from the work God is doing in their life, we are stopping God's work from happening. It's causing everybody more pain in the process. You know, and we have got to stop interfering in the work God is doing for people.
I actually said that in a text to this grandchild. I will not interfere in what God is doing, because I love you that much that I know that my loving Heavenly Father is going to do what he needs to do in you. And I don't want to be the one standing in the way. Although I could make your life easier right now, I choose not to do that. It's Angel's turn to cry, man.
Tag, go for it, Angel.
But that's the true love there.
It is true love.
That's true love.
And I remember telling you about it, Angel, and I was saying it just broke me.
I could feel it breaking you.
But it's the right thing.
Absolutely, because, you know, there's so often when we, especially when we have pride in the way, especially when we think we know what's best.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to get dying to that self means usually we got to pay that painful lesson of, no, I didn't really know what's best. This stinks. I don't like where my life is, before I'm willing to stop, humble myself, and really say, okay, God, you know, you take the wheel.
You know, you're exactly right. And a lot of times these kids, like this son here in Luke 15, it's because of rebellion. It's because of thinking they know what's best for themselves. And it's because they don't want anybody overseeing them. They want to go do their own thing. You know, they want to party till the, you know, cows come home.
Oh, he was entitled. Come on, give me half my inheritance. And I mean, entitlement and pride and all kinds of stuff going on here. Not much different than what we see with our transitional adults a lot in today's culture.
So true. So many of them are failure to launch or still at home. You and I just did a series that people can catch on podcast here on TantalkNetwork.com, Teens Out of Control. And that was one of the things we talked about, is that so many teens are out of control because they've been indulged, they've been entitled. And so many people are too. They've always been rescued. And God says he's the rescuer, not you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? That's what you're trying to say here, right?
But we try to tell God, we know more. I know better. I'm going to do it faster. And it makes a mess. It causes so much more pain for everybody in the long run. Usually brings them into my office because they have prolonged the process of God's work.
So are you saying, Dr. Angel, that it's a loving thing to do to let people suffer consequences for their behavior?
Absolutely.
Love Them Like Jesus by Casting Crowns.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words. You're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding. Love her like Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her, stay by her side. Love her like Jesus. Love her like Jesus. The gifts lie in wait in a room painted blue. A little blessing from heaven would be there soon. Hope fades in the night, and blue skies turn to gray as a little one slips away. Jesus, carry them to him. His
Take this show just a little different direction and not finish Luke 15 right now. I'm going to finish it next week, probably. I just allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants. And we're going to Matthew 22 that I talked about on our Facebook post on Thursday. And if you missed it, you need to catch it on Marcia McAllister posts or Beacon of Hope Ministries posts. And it's all about this little section of scripture. God says there are people out there listening now and that will listen in the future who need a wake-up call about where their heart is. This young man in Luke 15, where we were, had a wake-up call, and his wake-up call happened as a result of his desperation, and he began to see that he needed to make a change in his life. I propose the next few moments of this show, we need to talk about the fact that so many times we don't get to this very important place in our lives where we actually make a change towards what God wants for us because our priorities are all messed up. And I'm going to go back to your favorite word, Dr. Angel, and it is passion. You have two of them, passion and purpose. And so we're going to talk about priorities, passion, and purpose here for the next few moments before the end of the show. And we're going to use this little passage of scripture to talk about what Jesus said about our priorities, our passion, and our purpose. And it starts with Matthew 22, starting with verse 34. Religious leaders were trying to really trip Jesus up and get him in arguments and, you know, tell people, oh, well, he doesn't understand. That's how this is or that is. And so in this passage of scripture, they come to him and they say, let's try this on him. Let's see if he knows the most important command in the word. What he's going to say that is. The Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees. In other words, Pharisees and Sadducees were two different groups of religious people. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, that it would happen. The Pharisees were religious people like a lot of us know in churches, right? And they were always arguing among themselves. So they gathered their forces for an assault on Jesus. One of their religion scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? Now, keep your finger there and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, because this is clear back in the law of Moses. It's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, if you want to go back. If not, that's fine. You can listen. Jesus knew the word because he is the word. Jesus knew the word because he inspired the word. Jesus knew the word because this was directly from him and the Father, and they had spoken these words through the pen or quill of Moses long before. And so he says, and he quotes Deuteronomy 6:5. And he says this, attention, Israel, verse 4, God our God, God the one and only. Verse 5, love God your God with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. Now he goes and he actually quotes this. That's from the Message Bible. He quotes this exactly. Now we're going back to Matthew 22. And when put on the spot, Jesus quotes this verse from Deuteronomy 6:5. And he says, oh, you want to talk about what's the most important command in the Bible? Well, that's simple. It's Deuteronomy 6:5. And it is this. The most important command in the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, the Message Bible translates this like this. Love the Lord your God with all your passion. There's your word, Pastor Angel. And prayer and intelligence. This is the most important. The first one, the first off any list, but there is a second to set aside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. We're not going to talk about part two there of loving others. We're going to get that next week or the next. Then we're going to talk about the most important command. Jesus said, that is easy to answer. It is this. You are to love the Lord your God with a little tiny fraction of your heart. Right, Nan? Fraction of your soul, which is your emotions.
No.
And a little tiny fraction, just a little tiny fraction of your mind.
No.
Okay, Angel, Nan says that I've got it wrong.
Yeah, I do.
I do?
All your heart, all your soul, all your mind.
How can that be? We have so many things going on in our lives. We have people in our lives that we say to them and we send them Valentine cards. I love you with all my heart.
Yeah,
but you know what? Right? That's what the card, doesn't it sound like that when you read it? I love you with all my heart. But the truth of the matter is the only person that we are supposed to love with all our heart, with all our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, with all of your mind is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of you, dear listener, the creator of me, of Nan, of Angel, the God who created us, he is the only one that deserves all of your heart.
Well, he made all of our heart. He put it together, and it's about priorities. When we give the Lord all of our heart, it's a priority.
Right.
It's where do we go first? You know, when we're having a struggle, is it to the phone or to the throne? That's a priority.
Oh, whoa. Can we quote you on that? That's really good. Oh, Nan, write that down. Do we go to the phone or the throne? I love it.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, it's where are we going? Because those are our priorities. You know, we can always see our priorities in our actions. They're not in our words. So we may profess, yes, God's number one in my life, and I love him this way with all my heart, soul, and mind. But do you really? Is he on your thoughts? Do you meditate on the word? That's loving with all your mind. I mean, not saying you can't have other thoughts. Yeah, but are we thinking of him on a continual basis?
Right. Is he a part of your daily life? Do you put praise music in your car? Do you take time to talk to him in the daytime, in the morning when you wake up? Good morning, Holy Spirit. How are you? What's going on? He's always fine, by the way. That's the answer to that question. And he's always great. And he is really getting ready to talk to you. And he loves it. And back to our point on listening. So often we don't know what God wants for us in a given situation because we're not listening. We're talking or complaining, or we're just not even in communion with him at all. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, sometimes we don't want to hear what he has to say.
Okay.
Maybe sometimes part of the reason we don't necessarily want
That's
to listen.
That's true. And also let me pose this to both of you, because the three of us are friends, right?
Yes.
Been friends for a number of years. If I just chose to shut you out of my life and quit answering your phone calls or don't return a text, what kind of friendship is that?
Not a very trusting one. I mean, it'll start breaking the trust. You'll learn that, oh, you're not really going to be there, and it's a hit and miss. And so then you start backing off and, you know, reprioritizing those relationships in the human.
And there are people in our lives that don't respond, right?
Oh, yes, there
okay.
are.
there are people in our lives who they have time for this, this, and this, but they don't have time for us, right? And I understand everybody's busy. I mean, I get that. We're all very busy. But it doesn't take very long to return a text, or it doesn't take very long to respond, like, I'll call you later. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm busy right now, but I'll call you later. Talk to us, Nan. You seem to be deep in thought. And right now you're not crying. But we could get you there quick, I'm thinking.
Can you? Okay, let's try. Probably. No, what I was thinking about, I'm about to start crying. God, Lord help me. I was thinking about what Angel said about, you know, if we start reprioritizing those particular relationships. Thinking about the statement of, it doesn't take much to return a text. And it really doesn't. I mean, it really doesn't. You know, and, you know, I get all excited if I send someone a text and then when they send back, I get all excited to get that response. I know they still care enough to respond to me. You know, in this day and age, you had to pick up the home telephone and call somebody right. and say, I love you. You know, you had to just mail something, which mailing is great. I believe in that. But, you know, it doesn't take that long to send a quick text. Or you're in your car, put on your Bluetooth, you know, call somebody, say, hey, I was just thinking about you, I want to let you know I love you. You know, it doesn't take long, but the rewards of that are reaped by both parties involved.
I'm going to give you an example. On this Christmas Day this past year, I was alone until mid-afternoon when I went to my niece's house and spent time. It was supposed to be a big family gathering, but everybody had the flu. So it ended up being just a very few of us. But for most of the day, I spent the day with the Lord. And it was an amazing Christmas day. And mid-morning, I got a Merry Christmas, etc., and it went on from a person I hadn't heard from in 2 or 3 years. And it absolutely made my day. It was simply thinking about you, something like thinking about you, Merry Christmas or something. Angel, why don't we do things like that with people? Why we can their memory or something about them can run through our minds, but so often we don't even acknowledge that. You say, are you off the deepened path or off the beaten path where this topic? No, this is about love. This is about passion. This is about caring about people. Love them like Jesus. This is about caring about our relationships. Go ahead.
Well, love is an action word. It's what you do. And so oftentimes we take love as a passive word. It's what you say. But love is what you do. And when you send out those, you know, how's your day going? Or I'm thinking of you, or I'm praying for you, and you respond, and it's genuine, it shows and demonstrates that it's a demonstration of that love for that person that you have. And I think you're right. A lot of people just aren't prioritizing those relationships in their lives and let themselves get swallowed up with other things or just ignore it. Or, you know, I've watched people where they'll respond to certain people like right on the spot, and then you'll text them and not hear from them for like 5 days. So you kind of know where you are on the list of priorities.
Okay.
But, and those are the thoughts. Like, those are what we need to be doing and thinking of, how can I just, you know, give someone a, how, you know, make them smile today or make them know their love today. Like, what demonstration can I do?
I propose, and I agree with everything you said, I propose that part of the problem is our hearts are divided. Our hearts are divided between this priority, this job, that job. And believe me, I work jobs, several things that are going on in my life. But it's a matter of realizing the importance of time with God and time with those in your life that you are trying to cultivate and grow those relationships, right?
Absolutely.
So it's a matter of, Jesus said it goes down to this, that our relationships will be better if we love God more, right?
Yes.
It's not one of these teeter-totters. Think of the teeter-totter when we were kids and you go down and the other person's up in the air, you know, and then you go back down. It's something where it's got to be a balance in our lives, but the most important relationship that we should be cultivating is our relationship with Almighty God.
Absolutely, which takes priority and time and energy, and it's not just to go to church once a week. I mean, what good is that relationship if you just, you know, showed up and sat there quietly for 2 hours once a week? I mean, it's not a it's not a two-way relationship.
It's exactly right. And I feel like this is the purpose of this series right now, to grow our relationship with Almighty God at Easter season, resurrection time, that we realize that what he did on the cross bears us paying attention to it. It's important that we realize that he did this because of his love. And there's power in this love. And when he says to us, I want you to love God with all your heart, I want you to love with all of your mind, with your soul, with your emotions, that means when you're singing a song, how great is our God. We did that this morning. Sing with me. It's not, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? No, we're singing with, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God? It is not, I'm going to sing this song, how great is our God? You know what I'm saying, Nan?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Well, I thought of a personal example, and I just want to use the term here, is we need to cherish God. We need to cherish his love. We need to cherish him.
What's the word cherish mean?
Well, that's, I actually had to look it up in the dictionary because someone asked me if I cherished them. I don't remember the definitions. There
when
several.
I ask you, if you cherish me, you mean you had to go, no, I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
I'm teasing
but,
you.
No, but, you know, we need to, I mean, in fact, this is someone I'm seeing. They asked, do you love me? Do you cherish me? And I managed to dance around the whole thing. And then I went later and looked up the definition of cherish. And I would encourage the listeners to do that. I don't, I can look it up here in a quick second. But some of them, it was yes, and some of them was no.
Okay.
As far as how I felt, you know. But we need to cherish, you know, hold
hold dear, right?
Hold dear. I mean,
yeah.
Really, just cherish deeply. I mean, you know, he needs to be the one that we need to be cherishing, number one,
and
over anybody. And I said to this person, I said, I don't cherish anybody. And of course, I wasn't talking about God. I meant about people. And
God's got to be number one.
He's got to be number
one. I mean, if we're going to really live what God has commissioned us to do, the song we just played, Love Them Like Jesus,
yes.
Right? People need the Lord. Love them like Jesus. How did Jesus love us? He loved sacrificially. He went to the cross for us. Angel?
That's a lot of love.
It's a whole lot of love.
And today in our culture, we don't want to sacrifice 10 seconds to send a text.
Right.
Or 30 seconds or a couple minutes in a phone call. Or we don't want to, you know, sacrifice something that puts us out of our way or takes a little extra time. We just don't want to. And it's the little things. Mm-hmm. It is really the little things where people genuinely know you care. You know, I work in a large office at work, and, you know, I can't tell you the number of times, like, if I'm going to run out to the convenience store because I want to go grab a soda during the day, I go ask people, hey, can I pick something up for you? And that goes, people are
yes.
like, that is so kind of you and
it's
so
kind.
Thoughtful.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the little things, and it's all about, will you do the little things to show people you really care and mean it.
And mean it. And I propose that it boils down to where our heart is.
Oh, yeah.
If our heart, I mean, Jesus said in Matthew, I think 12, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is your heart in, how can this benefit me? Is your heart in, I'm going to just get my way here regardless, like the prodigal son. Is that where your heart is? Or is your heart in a place where God can use you, where you say, God, I love you so much that it can bring you to tears when you're telling him how much you love him, right?
Absolutely.
That song we did this morning, I love you more today, right?
Mm-hmm.
To God. Mm-hmm. I love you more today than I did on yesterday. That should be our heart. Our heart should be, I love you more today, God, because you are so wonderful. You've blessed me. You've given me this. You are constantly telling me you care about me and you love me. And because you love me, it says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Don't have time to get into that whole teaching. But But you know what? It's because he first loved us that we love him. I'm going to play this amazing song that's on the Casting Crowns album we used in one of our services a few weeks ago. And it's Take My Heart, Lord. And what I didn't plan on using this. God just took me there. Found this CD when I was cleaning my garage a couple days ago. And I looked at it, and there's that song that I love. Take My Heart, Lord. Take it. Use me. God, I give it to you. My brother-in-law just had open heart surgery two and a half weeks ago. And he was telling me yesterday or the day before when I was visiting, he said, you know that they like take your heart out and stuff? And he was talking about it and on the process. He goes, and it stops beating? You know, my heart stopped beating for a while. The machine took over. And I said, yeah. And he goes, gosh, that's weird. And he goes, I can't even think about how they cut my chest with a saw and, you know, and all that. And you know what? So often our hearts have quit beating for God. They've quit beating. And we need to have them revitalized. I don't know if I'm going to be able to not cry during this song. Take my heart, Lord. Let it be your prayer right now.
We don't have to come to God like somebody else. We come to him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself so I know how to follow you. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am here.
My heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
'Cause I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have.
Strong, you are sure, you are life, you endure, you are good, always true, you are life, breaking through.
Right this moment, wherever you are scattered around this big globe, can you say that to God? Take my heart, Lord. Speak what is true to me. I want to hear your voice in my life. I want to make you my number one priority. That's what I want. I give you my heart. Can you do that right now where you are?
Ask God to search your heart. Lord, open us up. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you, Father. Let's sing this prayer to him. You are more than enough. Can you sing that?
Because you are more.
Give it to him. Give it to him. Dear Lord, we come before you right now as a people who need you. We need you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. We need you to love us as you do so greatly. We love that you love us. We need you to speak to us, especially when we are just needing to hear your voice and needing to feel your arms of love around us. Lord, that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need from you. And Lord, today we ask that you give us that.
Yeah, we love you. We thank you for your amazing, amazing, amazing patience with us. I can't imagine what it's like to watch us down here chasing our tails, scratching
our
itches.
What a great song, right?
That we found answers. We're digging holes.
Here's my heart, Lord. Oh, wow. Sum it up there, Angel and Nan, as we pray for our dear audience members, wherever they might be.
Well, you know, I think this is a really great time, you know, to examine our hearts. And, you know, is there a group of people that you just don't feel the love for? Is there a group of people that you don't want good things to happen to? Because that's a good indication that we aren't loving God or others like we're called to, that we're
sure.
not even loving Christ with the love. And, you know, pray, Lord, help me see others through your eyes. You know, that's my
so
prayer
true.
Every day is, God, let me see your people through your eyes, not my own eyes. I don't need to see their faults. I don't need to see their frailties. I don't want to see their sins. I'm not here to judge them. I'm here to love them.
That is such a great point. And so often, you're right, we see people through our judgment eyes, right?
Absolutely, we do. And then we categorize their worth and value based on where we judge them. And
exactly.
They're all, God loves all his children.
Yeah, he does. He's a good, good father. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, I just want to encourage the people to really realize how powerful the love of God is for us.
Oh, yeah.
And we're supposed to emulate that and show that and love, like Angel was just saying, love people like he loves the people.
Exactly.
You know, and I think this can be an eye-opening show.
Yes, it's a good show.
It's an eye-opening show for many people,
right.
That they'll walk differently in their life now.
I hope so.
If they apply what they have heard.
Absolutely. And as always, we want to hear from you. You can email me directly, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And we'd love to hear from you, not just prayer requests, but hear your heart or hear how something helped you understand some of the principles of God more. In this day and age where there's so much that grabs at our attention and pulls at us, when we sing a song like that one, Take My Heart, Lord, that's a super big statement, Nan. You want to talk about that? That's not just some trivial little thing, Take My Heart. I mean, this is huge.
This is huge. I mean, you know, our heart, it doesn't need to be divided.
Right.
Between part him and part someone else, part, you know, part habits that we have that we need to break, you know, that
yes.
are important to us. That we important to us. He needs all the, he doesn't need just part of it. We need to have him have all of
that
our
That doesn't
heart.
Mean you don't love people and you
right.
don't have significant people in your life or an intimate relationship in your life. We're not saying that. It's Angel, help us understand that, will you? Because there is a difference. And some people may say, does that mean that you can't love other people or be married or whatever? It's nothing like that.
So giving God all of our heart means our hearts are life-giving device. It means I'm surrendering my life to Him. I'm surrendering my will to Him. And there is nothing I'm holding back. My feelings, my needs, my failures, my faults. I am completely intimate with Him. That's giving Him all of our heart.
Right. And that does not mean you don't have room for other people.
Not at all. Yeah, of course. And the more we give Him our heart, the more we have room.
That's right. And that is so weird, isn't it? But the more we give Him our heart, the more we are able to love those around us and in our lives to a greater extent, deeper, really. Nan, talk about that real quick. I mean, we can love deeper after we give Him more of us.
Well, it's just an amazing principle. We give Him all of us. Like I say, we love people around us in a greater love because His love is shining out of our complete heart.
Right. And we're so different. He changes us. Talk about that, Angel. We're about ready to get out of here, but such a huge point. When we give Him our heart, He actually changes us.
He sure does. He's molding us into His very image, and His image is a heart and a compassion for His people.
Right. It is.
He gave all.
So when you see what He did on the cross, and He just wants us to become like Him and be giving and loving and tender and peaceful and caring about others, Nan. Woo.
I like the caring about others part.
Yeah.
I feel God has all my heart. But in reaching out and giving to others, it just brings blessing.
It does.
It brings a blessing. I mean, that's, you know, and we can praise Him that He brought them into our life to be able to minister to them.
Absolutely.
For Him. So it all comes back circle.
Absolutely. Yes. It's a matter of being open and ready for God to bring people in your life that you can bless and help. And final thoughts from the two of you real quickly before we get out of here, Angel.
Well, you know, it's a great time for examination. And this is a great week. And we're coming in. You're right. We're coming into our Easter season. God's greatest love is He gave us His Son without hesitation. He gave us His Son and our faults and our frailties and our sins, knowing we would do what we do. And He still chose to do it anyway.
And He still did, because He loves us so very much. Nan, final thoughts. Thank you, Angel.
Just, I want people to really realize the power of God's love.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to see them have their whole heart turned to God.
Amen. Thank you both. Thank you, Nan Watson. Thank you, Dr. Angel Falzone, for your time here on this show today. And for all of you out there, we'd love to hear from you. Again, prayers at bohmglobal.com. My email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And, you know, we just welcome you to tell people about the show. Go to tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts. And you will, if you go down to Living the Good Life, that's this show. Tell people about it. There's no distance between God's love. He loves you, dear listener, so very, very much. You are so special to Him. Tune in again next week as we continue this series, The Power of Love and How It Changes Our Lives. Catch our Facebook post from a couple days ago on my posts or on Beacon of Hope Ministries post. Share them, please, with others, and they will help you learn this whole concept and how important the power of love is in our lives. So check us out next week, next Sunday, 3:00 Eastern. We'll be right here. And on Thursday night, Dr. Angel and I will be on our counseling life coaching show right here at 6:06 p.m. starting a new series this week, and it's going to be great. TanTalkNetwork.com, Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. And Peter Engineer will be here with us too, which is always a great time. And he's coming on here to take over for me. So it's been a great time with all of you. We are glad you have joined us today. This has been Pastor Marcia, Angel, and Nan bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to God's presence and His love for you.